call this evening is for us to get ready to return to the Lord, to get ready to place trust in God and to God alone. The words from Scripture tell us, return to the Lord.
It is not always easy to return to God. We have had our way for so long.
So blow the trumpet and sound the alarm, call the young and call the old, and tell everyone that the Lord is coming. Remember the cleansing and the healing power of your baptism. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy God, we place ourselves in your presence and we rest in the promise of your grace. Our minds and our spirits are cluttered with so many thoughts and so many feelings that threaten, even at this moment, to pull our attention away from you. And so let us unclench our fist and release these things. We release
all we have done today, whether for good or for evil.
We release
all we feel like we should have done today, but did not do.
And we release
all we need to do tomorrow, all the thoughts, all the feelings that pull us away from you, God.
And so now fill us with the joy and the peace of your deep, abiding presence.
Thank you.
We know that the early Christians were not good at observing the suffering and the dying and the resurrection of the Lord. And so it became the custom that prior to Easter Sunday, they would spiritually prepare themselves to sort of figuratively walk with Jesus on this path that he was walking toward his faith. And these 40 days before became a time for new baptisms, for new Christians to walk in the faith, to reflect on Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, and to reflect on what that meant for the forgiveness of their sins. It was also a time when those persons who had been separated from God by the sins of their souls, they were able to come back and to be restored into the fellowship of the church and to participate once again in the life. As an act of the whole church, we recognize the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness that is proclaimed in the gospel because of the life of Jesus. And so today, in 2017, we're invited, as all of the faithful generations have been before us, to enter into this season of Lent where we are called for self-examination. We're called to truly think about repentance and think about all the ways that we've sinned against God. We enter this season with prayer. We enter it with self-denial. Some people enter it with fasting from one thing or another. But most importantly, we fast from those things that keep us away from God. We enter this season by reading and meditating on God's Word, by praying together, and even tonight, as we begin this season, we come asking for forgiveness. We come as a sign of reconciliation, not only with God, but with one another. And we do that by sharing the peace of Christ with one another. And so, may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Share the peace of Christ with one another. Christ's peace, Jacob. As we gather around this font, we remember not only the waters of our baptism, we also remember these ashes. These once were green palm leaves, but just as it is with these ashes, it is also with our lives. At some point, our lives turn back into ashen pieces. We don't ever remain the same. And so these ashes remind us that even though life is good, life is also brittle. And as humans, we are always in need of forgiveness. We are always in need of letting go of our guilt in order to accept Christ's forgiveness. And so tonight, let us bless these ashes. Lord, we ask that you bless these ashes as a sign of conversion and penance and as the token that we want to discover your Son today, this evening, in the silence of our prayers, in our neighbors, with those whom we will encounter throughout this season. And so let the sign of the cross that will be given in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit not only encourage us but heal us so that we can serve you and our neighbor, and we may do it through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. there's a common thread that is going to run through all of our passages. And that common thread is that even though we live on God's kingdom on earth, God's kingdom living can still be heard through all of the noise. So how is it that we can refocus our lives and our hearts so that what matters is the treasure that we find in Jesus Christ, in God, the treasure we find in being the body of Christ? How do we do it? Well, first of all, we listen for God's sacred echo. In a few minutes, I'm going to be reading scripture, and I'm going to read them from the Message version of the Bible. You're more than welcome to take out the Pew Bible and follow along if you wish. But one of the things I think that we're going to find with Isaiah is that he speaks to us, I think, of the ouch of not living and not listening. The trouble that we get into when we practice our faith as something that is self-serving rather than God-serving. The prophet tells us if we will just listen and if we will lift up God's requirements, then we're going to experience this wonderful life that God intended for all of us. And then there's good old Paul, who, like the Broadway producer, reminds us that an earthly living really is sort of a hard knock life. That discipleship is not for the faint-hearted, but that the rewards are eternal. The good news from Matthew's gospel we will hear is Matthew tells us to put on this pleasant face, to even put on a joyous face in worship, that we don't have to be somber all of the time. It's a wonderful stewardship lesson also, because it reminds us that if we get caught up in the worldliness of possessions and things, then that's where our heart is going to be. And so he reminds us, put our heart and our treasure with God. The cross, the ashen cross that we will place on our forehead, I think is that wonderful way of reminding us of God's sacred echo. That when we go into the world, we go in it with the knowledge, the good knowledge, that we are but ashes in the wind. From God we came, and to God we will return. And so I ask that we prepare our hearts together as we pray and we listen for God's word. Lord of life, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we hear these words, they may become a living word for us, a living word to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we ask and pray. Amen. First, from Isaiah, shout. A full-throated shout. Hold nothing back, a trumpet blast shout. And tell those people what's wrong with their life and face my family Jacob with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship, and they love studying all about me. To all appearances, they are a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. And they ask me, what's the right thing to do? And they love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't even look our way? Why do we humble ourselves, God, and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast day is profit. You drive your employees too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and you fight. And you fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think that's the kind of fast that I'm after? A day to show off humility, to put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting? a day that I, God, would like? This is the kind of fast day that I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed and to cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is this: sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothing on the shivering, ill-clad, and being available to your own families. You do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage, and then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, "Here I am." If you get rid of unfair practices, if you quit blaming victims, if you stop gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness, and your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. I'll give you firm muscles and strong bones. You will be a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuilding the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, who can restore old ruins and rebuild and renovate. And you will be known as one who can make community livable again. From the letter to the Corinthians, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it wrong. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and a new life blossoms. Look at it. All of this comes from our relationship with one another. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself right now. Become friends with God because he's already friends with you. But how do you do that, you ask? We do it in Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. Well, now there is a right time to listen, a day to be helped. Don't put it off and don't frustrate God's work by showing up late and throwing a question mark on everything that we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. And people are watching us as we stay at our post alert in hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up and jailed and mobbed, when we work hard, work late, work without eating, when we work with a pure heart, a clear head, a steady hand, when we work in gentleness and holiness and honest love. People watch us when we're telling the truth and when we're showing God's power, when we're doing our best setting things right, when we're praised, when we're blamed, when we're slandered and honored, when we're true to the word though distrusted, when we are ignored by the world but recognized by God, when we are terrifically alive even though it's rumored that we're dead. People watch us when we are beaten within an inch of our life but refuse to die, when we are immersed in tears and yet we are filled with great joy. They watch us when we live on handouts, and yet we enrich so many. They watch us when we have nothing at all, and yet we have everything. And from Matthew's gospel, be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action. I'm sure they're called play actors. Treating prayer meetings and street corners like a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching and playing to the crowds. They get applause for sure, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly. This is the way of your God who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes. And when you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you're not tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. And when you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production of it either. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it will not make you a saint. And if you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing. He will reward you well. And finally, don't hoard treasure down here where it's going to get eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or even worse, stolen by thieves. But stockpile your treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and thieves. The place where your treasure is the place that you will most want to be, and it is the place that you will end up being. The word of the Lord. I invite you now into sort of a lengthy time of silent reflection and meditation. There will come a time when I hope that I will recognize that we are at a quitting place, and then we will join together and we will remember that even though we came from dust and we return to dust, from our beginning to our ending, we are loved and we are forgiven. I invite you to spend time listening to the sacred echo. Isaiah says to us, come together and let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. And so now, believing in the goodness that God wants for us, may we together confess our sin.
O gracious God,
know that God loves us, forgives us, welcomes us, and actually rejoices even in us. And so as we come forward for the imposition of the ashes, I pray that the coolness of the water and the reminder that we are dust and to dust we will return will reassure you not only of God's love, but of God's transforming love. the dust of the earth we were created. To the dust of the earth we will return. There truly is great peace in knowing that. So as we leave tonight, we have heard Isaiah's words about a trumpet call and about alarm. We have heard that God is near. We see these symbols. We see the cross. We see the table. We see the font. And we are reminded of God's mercy. We are entering that season which should be no more merciful than any other season, and yet we take it that way. And so I pray that we will leave this place tonight in a spirit of service and humility, but most of all, in a spirit of thanksgiving. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord keep your coming out and your going in from this day and evermore. Amen.